The following message was recorded at our weekly worship service at Summit Christian Fellowship in Tacoma, Washington. Visit us online at www.summit-christian.org to find out more about us.
Let's pray quickly again. Jesus, we want to see what you've done. You're the creator. You're the one who spoke everything into existence and is upholding all things by that same power of your word. We want to acknowledge that in you we move and live and have our being, and that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that you knit us together in our mother's womb, that you knew us before we were born. Lord, help us to think like you think in redeemed ways, that we're able to accurately reflect your nature, your character, because we have been made in your image and likeness, and we are glad. Your people are glad that you have redeemed us from the fall, and you have brought us back into right relationship with you through your Son, Jesus. Lord, our hearts rejoice. They're full of joy over what you have done in us and bringing us out of death into life. And so, Lord, help us to, on every occasion, in every way, represent you well. And so, Father, help us to understand and to learn, to teach, admonish, correct, and to promote your kingdom and your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I'd like to lay a little quick foundation. Of course, Genesis 1:27 says, and we're talking about God's image after the fall and the flood. God created men in his own image, and in the image of God, he created them male and female. And then, and that, of course, is at the beginning. And then we have the fall. And after the fall, in Genesis 5:5, this is what we see. Adam fathered a son in his own likeness and after his own image, is what Scripture says, and named him Seth. And this is the continuation of what God had done. That God was originating people, continuing to propagate and originate people in his image. That it was a continuation of what God started even after the fall. And then after the flood, Noah is warned by God, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image. In other words, there's this continuing truth that's being played out in history, even after the fall and after the flood. We retain God's image and likeness, although we are dead in our sins and trespasses, until he makes us alive together with him. And only then can we start to take dominion over what God has made and bring back everything, including our hearts and our minds, in subjection to him, and our bodies. It includes it all, the whole package. So that's how we give him glory, by bringing everything back under glad submission to his truth about what he originally did and what he originally intended. And then, of course, in Psalm 8, it says this, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. And in the New Testament, of course, it says that all dominion and power and glory has been given over to the Son. And we, with Christ, are currently, those of us who are believers, we are currently with him, ruling over what he's done. As we obey him, obey his word, as we are branches connected to the vine. Amen? So God's image today is still active in us, and we have a redeemed, restored view of what that's supposed to accomplish. That won't all fully be accomplished until Christ comes back, and that life swallows up death utterly and ultimately and completely. But right now, we're to be all about God's image and likeness being seen, displayed through our lives. Through our words, through our actions, through our choices, that we have been bought with a price, we don't belong to ourselves. So we cannot do whatever we want to do with our body, right? Romans 12:1. I beseech you, my brothers, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, because this belongs to him. We're a whole burnt offering. Okay, now, what I want to aim at here is that only God can give and take away, as he says in Job. He's the one who gives life, and he's the one who can take life. We don't have a right to take life, as in, i.e., abortion. We want to honor what God has done. We want to build up in other people's minds. Only Christianity has this view, guys, that men and women are precious simply because, not just simply, but because they are made in the image and likeness of God. And so whether people are born again or not, we still see this residual image of God in people, and we need to love them and care for them and build a bridge to them so that they might hear the gospel and spend eternity with him. God made us to spend eternity with him, and we are eternal. We will either spend time with him in eternity or in hell. But God made us for himself. We haven't made ourselves. Okay, so it's a pointer to God's sovereignty to acknowledge, as Job did, that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. And we need to acknowledge him in all our ways and his word. Okay, God, as we saw in the brief video, that God has formed us in the inward parts, that he's knitted us together in our mother's womb, then Psalm 139, 13. But here's what I want you to catch from this verse. God is personal. God himself made you. He didn't just set a process in motion that it was just by random and that things just kept propagating. God is upholding all things. I get the very next breath of my lungs and the very next beat of my heart because in him I move and live and have my being, and so do you. And we need to acknowledge God in all our ways, including how he formed us and shaped us, and he did it personally. God himself. Okay, a glimpse into the womb. If you could turn to Luke 1, this is the central part of our passage today. Luke 1, beginning in verse 34. I'd read this passage, I bet, hundreds of times. And just for whatever reason, the way that Piper highlighted this in his message is so beautiful, talking about Luke here. Beginning in 34... Luke 1:34. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Okay, so what happens is God causes Mary's cousin, Elizabeth, to become pregnant, and miraculously her womb had been barren all those years, and God opened the womb, which only God can do, and causes her to be pregnant with who? John the Baptist. And he was made in a particular way to make straight the paths of the Lord, to prepare the way of the one who would save the world. And so there's something really special happening here in this pregnancy. All right. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And then Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." Okay, this is an amazing passage. And I know that you might be super familiar with this, but if we can just let our hearts meditate together on this, what God is doing in Elizabeth and at the same time has caused Mary to become pregnant with the Son of God. All right. This is an incredible opportunity for us to not just run right by these verses, but think deeply about them. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. There's a word there used, brephos in the Greek, which means baby. There isn't another word here used for unborn or fetus or embryo. This is the word for baby. And this expression is the same word used in Luke chapter 2, just the next chapter over, in 16, where he says and they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, brephos, lying in a manger. This is exactly the same word. So you have the same word being used before birth as after birth, after the birth, okay? So, what the Christian church has seen is this, is what person Jesus was and John was were outside the womb, they were already inside the womb. This is an acknowledgement, a testimony to who they were as being formed by God himself, okay? Today, science has made this easier to believe, even. Because of ultrasound technology, it's given us a stunning window inside of the womb. And it shows the unborn at 8 weeks that they're sucking their thumb, they're recoiling from pricking and responding to sound. All the organs are present. The brain is functioning. The heart is pumping. The liver is making blood cells. The kidneys are cleaning fluids. And there's a fingerprint. And yet, the vast majority of abortions happen after 8 weeks. The very handprint of God in how we were knit together, God doing it personally. And that this word for baby is an understood, now from these passages we can see the connection, how God looks at babies inside the womb. Notice this. The baby inside the womb is treated as a person. Why? Because the baby in Elizabeth's womb responded to Mary, who was carrying the Son of God. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in the womb. And Elizabeth interprets that leap like this. Behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, we just read this, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. There's joy going on inside this little person, inside of her. Only people can have joy, not things. And Luke says what Elizabeth said this because, this is the testimony of Scripture, she was filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is the Holy Spirit testifying in his word about what was just said. And then it says this, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. So that this leap is not only a leap of joy, but it is a leap of Holy Spirit-inspired joy. Life going on inside. Only persons are filled with the Spirit, not anything else. So, this action that we can see should cause our hearts to be amazed at the beginning of human life as a magnificent thing. Something that is the work of God himself. It is the forming of a person in God's own image who will live forever. The angels aren't propagating more souls. Only us, made in his image, are still propagating those made in his image. And if every one of those will spend eternity somewhere. And our understanding of that unborn child needs to be that God has formed them, that there is eternity in the balance for that little soul, and that we need to protect, guard, and keep them. As Casey said, to, in essence, to defend the defenseless. Never cease to be amazed at the gift of life, the gift of children. Just because it seems to be a common experience, we ought to think like God thinks. And we ought to see what he's doing, that he is making for himself a bride that he's going to come back for. And some of these little ones are a part of that bride. And we need to defend them. And we need to love them even before they are born. Amen? So here's a word of encouragement to all of you saints. First, about the sanctity of human life. We need to be praying for all the care net activity that's going on in our area, and for us to give our time and our money and our hearts to the work of God there on that front. So we need to be filled with prayer. We want you to be filled with the activity that is God-inspired to go and love and care for those, but we want you to be filled with prayer over that issue. We want you to have a clear understanding of the Word of God, that it would be the thing that motivates you, not some form of sentimentality. And that we get an opportunity this week, between now and next Sunday, to pray and ask God, Lord, what would you have us do in Haiti? You've made a connection here on a personal level. Remember when we gave money to Katrina? We went and found a church that was boots on the ground, who people were giving the gospel already. They were already ministering. And so we sent our money to them and said, you go and, you know, take the money and invest it for the kingdom there, because you know the people, you know what's up. And in the same way, we get an opportunity to love the Haitian people. Let the nations be glad, because the gospel's going forth through our brothers and sisters' family. And so we need to pray and ask God, what would you have us do? Would you send me? Would you have me give money? Would you have me give my time? Would you have me whatever? We need to be full of what God wants to do, that it's flowing out of us like a river of living water. And so you need to be full of prayer this week, specifically asking God what to do. Because next week, we're going to take an offering specifically for this. And if there's something ongoing, we'll be in prayer about that as well. And this is what I want to encourage you. We don't, as Casey said, you know, the situation is fluid. They might need 500 tents today, and they might need, you know, 2 tons of baby formula tomorrow. So we don't know what that all that is. So we're going to, you know, take the tithes and the offerings of the storehouse, and we're going to be able to meet their need in ways that will constantly be changing. It's not like just send tennis shoes or just send this or that. But we want to love them. We're loving people best when we're loving them with the gospel and with everything that God has given us. Amen? Lord, with insight and understanding, we're not just do-gooders. We are those that do good in your name, because the good is in the gospel and its redemption. So, Lord, we ask that you would move in our hearts and that you would cause us to think like you do. And, Lord, now I ask that you would bless your people, that you would give them the peace that surpasses all understanding, and it would guard their heart and their mind as they go. Fill them with your spirit, Lord, and cause them to be all about advancing your kingdom through their checkbook, through their time, through their desires and the affections of their heart, through every aspect of our lives. As one people, Lord, help us in unity to make it about you. And help us, Lord, to not forget to pray diligently for real hope for Haiti, as well as all the other people that you have placed us sovereignly in relationship with. We thank you for this. We ask that you'd bless your people. In Jesus' holy and mighty name, amen. Go and be filled with God's peace.
Thank you for listening to this message from Summit Christian Fellowship in Tacoma, Washington. You can visit us online at www.summit-christian.org or contact us at 253-531-1672.